This is MP on the mic on Sports Radio 910 The Fan and 105.1 FM.
We are live in Washington, D.C. No band today. No accompanying music. No warm-ups. No Butcher Brown. Just a quiet morning in Washington, D.C. Don't get things started today until 7 o'clock. First ACC semi. Everything's dark in Brooklyn. Full day off there. AWOD Radio live from Brooklyn. Noon to 3 today. It is time to welcome in our friend of the show. Sports director here at 910 The Fan, Gary Hess. Gary, take your pick. That's as wild a day of basketball as we've seen in a while.
I'll tell you, to me, where you have to start is, can you remember a day where the quarterfinals are played in a tournament and all four top seeds lose? I can't remember that ever happening. That was nuts up in Brooklyn yesterday.
The A-10 says it happened in 2006. So we're talking about 20 years ago, basically, was the last time.
Yeah, I don't remember what I had for lunch. I don't remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So, but that was it. That was insane. And I actually I did see the second half of the VCU game. I didn't see much of the Richmond game, but I did watch the late stages in the two overtimes of Loyola and St. Bonaventure, and that was great stuff right there.
That was a thriller. That was good theater. Speaking of things we ate, Gary, have you ever had a $7 donut?
I have not.
Well, I have now. So here's how it works. They don't have, you know, we're there all day, noon to midnight in D.C., and my stance on media food, like food for the media, is I think it's very nice when they do it. I don't think it's like, you know, some people like need a, like, oh, if they don't have a lavish spread, I'm very angry about it. Like, it's nice when they do it because we're there all day. My favorite meal is the New York Giants do this because, you know, we get there at 9 a.m. and we leave at 9 p.m. They put out deli meat and sandwiches, and you just make yourself a sandwich. And
The cold cut buffet is always a winner in my book. I agree with you.
That's all I need because I don't want to eat concession stand food. I don't want to bring a lunch. That's weird. I just want to make a sandwich and get back to work. And it's very much appreciated. So anytime media food happens, it's appreciated because it makes my life easier. Now, we're in the middle of downtown D.C., so there's a lot of great options. Mike Barber and I went to Old Ebbitt Grill last night between sessions. Had a phenomenal meal. So certainly I'm eating well. But they've given the media every day a $30 voucher for the concession stands. Because there's no like designated media food. They give you like a gift card. Go knock yourself out. It doesn't work for booze. Which, you know, not that I was going to, but I add the caveat. Before anybody calls, is like, you know, that's two Bud Lights. No Bud Lights. No Bud Lights today. Bud Lights after work. So I walked around. I was like, I'll get something. But it's all like, you know, big heavy stuff. You know, they had a donut stand. And a donut was $7.
Oh,
and I thought,
gosh.
Well, I got to experience this. District Donuts, that's the store, $7. They had four different types of donuts. I asked the guy which one was best, and he just kind of shrugged. Like, I don't know, buddy. Like, are you going to order a donut or not? Let's keep it moving. I just work here. So I got the old-fashioned. And I can tell you, it was not that good at all. But I had to get a $7 donut, Gary. When in your life were you ever going to have the chance to even buy a $7 donut?
And it wasn't even your $7. That's the best part.
There's no chance I would have spent my $7 on a donut yesterday. It was absolutely,
you know,
not going to happen.
A generation ago, I hate to say that, because in the, you know, I covered the AC tournament like every year most of the 90s. And the ACC media spread was always very, very good.
So they had a post-game hospitality room that was very nice, very lavish. You know, we didn't get there until late because we were covering the UVA game, which went to overtime. You know, the only thing better than UVA basketball where they can't make free throws is five extra minutes of them missing shots.
That's like the old joke. What's the first prize? Two tickets to a UVA game. What's the runner-up prize? Four tickets to a UVA game.
It was a painful watch at times for the Cavaliers last night. I think like that's what I always appreciate it when I can be in solidarity with the fan base. Y'all know I covered UVA at the start of the Tony Bennett era. I love Tony Bennett as a dude. That style gets unwatchable when they're not making shots, and they were not making shots last night.
Obviously it was way past my bedtime. As soon as NC State was shaking hands with Duke at the end of that game, I had to go to sleep. But I two things I'll say. First of all, I've seen UVA lapse into very unwatchable territory, and so it doesn't surprise me in the least. Second thing I'll say is it was interesting. I woke up this morning and I looked at the score, and then I looked at some social media and some people I'm connected with on social media who are very big UVA fans were like, hey, I've been following this team forever. Somebody's going to have to explain to me how in the world we won that game.
Yeah.
So I got the idea. I was like, oh, it's that UVA. Seen that before.
we've seen that show before.
But you know what? It doesn't matter because they're still playing and Boston College isn't. That's really what matters at this point. It's a bottom line business.
Not only are they still playing, the bracket fell their way because they get NC State now instead of Duke, who I think we can both agree they wouldn't have had a shot at.
And we can agree with that for sure. And they're getting an NC State team that's riding the way, but also now going to be playing its fourth game in 4 days.
Fourth game in 4 days. This is UVA's second game, so a big, 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 big swing there for sure.
Yep, and so that should make a huge difference. We'll see how they can handle the Wolfpack. They've been playing very, very well, we'll see if UVA's up to that and can get to the championship game. Based on what little I saw of the Carolina-Florida State game yesterday.
This is not a competitive tournament anymore, Gary.
I was just going to say, I'm not sure any of the rest of it's going to matter.
They're all playing for second.
Exactly.
And in UVA's case, they're playing their way out of Dayton. The only stat you need to know last night, 8 for 18 from the free throw line, UVA.
I think in my updates this morning, that's the only update I gave.
I asked Tony Bennett about it after the game. He said, we're saving them for when they matter, which is a funny line, but it could have saved me 5 minutes last night by making a couple of them.
Yeah, no kidding. They apparently, that 8 for 18, it was really bad down the stretch. So,
give me the Hampton-Sydney update. Are we feeling good about this? Like, this is one game away from happening.
You know, it's funny because Trinity was the team I was looking out for because they were like 32-1, but Trine beat them last night. So I don't know anything about Trine, whoever that is, but Hampton Sydney has taken down all comers. They played a Guilford team last night. You know how it is, Mike. You get into the conference wars and you get to the teams that know you really well, and it gets, you know, teams can, even the top teams can struggle a little bit.
No question.
Well, Hampton Sydney gets to the Final Four and it's like, oh, a conference team that beat us once. What are we going to say? They had a hard battle with Guilford, won by five. I love Hampton Sydney's chances to keep the D3 championship in the Commonwealth for a third year in a row.
Trine University is in Angola, Indiana. Angola, Indiana, but also has a satellite campus in Reston, Virginia.
Really?
There you go. The Thunder, the Trine Thunder. I'm going to say Thunder's a good name, but they're on the list, Gary. They're on the list. Yeah. I can't
At
stand
least
them.
For this weekend, they are.
They're on the list. They're on the list.
I talked to a couple friends of mine who are Randolph-Macon alums, and I was like, man, wouldn't it be great if the championship stayed in the Commonwealth? They're like, bite your tongue.
That's always a question, right? Like, you know, do you root for the ODAC? Do you root for the state? Or like, that's our rival. I want to inflict pain and
misery. We're rooting
on
for
them.
The ODAC unless it's Hampton Sydney. That's basically what I got.
That's what I'm hearing. Notable alumni of Trine University, Ralph Kettner, co-founder of Food Lion, a 1,300-store supermarket chain in the Mid-Atlantic. Joe Schroeder was on the USA Men's Rugby Sevens team at the 2020 Summer Olympics. And John McKetta is an American engineer who found more efficient ways to create energy. So there you go.
Well, we thank all of them for their contributions and trying for bringing them in. But
Hang on, we got one more. Gustavo Rojas Pinilla, the 19th president of Colombia, who mounted a successful coup d'etat against the incoming president, imposed martial law and established a dictatorship-style government in Colombia. That's all I need to know. They're on the list.
They're on the list, and Hampton Sydney's going to conduct its own coup d'etat tomorrow.
Oh, Gary coming in hot with the trash talk. I love it. I don't know if this was a productive segment, but I enjoyed it, Gary.
Always fun. Whether it's productive or not, it's irrelevant if you and I have a good time with it.
Enjoy your weekend. Hopefully we'll have a lot of fun stuff to talk about, I know, next week, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and interesting to see how the Hoos do tonight, and go Rams tomorrow for sure.
Boy, we got a ton of great basketball. Rams on 910, Hoos on 1140 WRVA. Gonna be a weekend. I'm fired up. Trip to DC here brought to you by, I gotta get sponsoring, Gary. I'm a radio guy now. I know how this works.
Gotta do that.
Cowan Gates, proud sponsor of our trip to Washington, D.C., a full service law firm. CowanGates.com, there for you in any case. All right, I yield the rest of the time to you, Gary.
All I was going to say was when we see each other again, we'll have a bracket.
We'll have a bracket. Go Hampton, Sydney. Let's go get a bracket. Gary Hess, everybody, back with my interview with Reese Beekman on the other side. This is 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. All right, let's start at the finish because it was a great day of basketball yesterday. Our friends at Cowan Gates have us up in Washington, D.C. Cowan Gates is a full-service law firm. I'm just going to read off some of the things they do. Personal injury, family law and divorce, business and corporate law, estate law, criminal defense, and real estate. That's a lot of them. That's a lot of areas of law. They're a full-service law firm. They're online at CowanGates.com. Call them 804-320-9100. Cowan Gates, proud sponsors of Virginia Tech Athletics. So we're up here at the ACC tournament, which is so, so good every year. It always delivers. A 10 tournament delivered up in Brooklyn. All the games were great. I mentioned Duke NC State off the top. But let's start at the finish. UVA. I'm laughing because, my goodness, I don't know how they won that basketball game. You make 8 of 18 free throws. And Tony Bennett mentioned it. There were some guys beat up. There were some guys who were hurt, and Isaac McNeely twisted his ankle earlier in the week, Tony said. So obviously you saw that. He went 0-for-5, came out of the game, came back into the game in overtime, and found a way to hit a crucial shot in overtime. He gets fouled on the first three-pointer, makes a couple free throws. UVA's up 6, and you say, all right, UVA up 6. That's up 12 for a normal team when you do the UVA math to factor in the low scoring. They got it across the finish line. Fantastic atmosphere last night up in D.C. So after the game, I chatted with Reese Beekman, and one of the things I mentioned to him was, I said, like, I haven't seen a lot of Virginia basketball this year, but as I mentioned with Gary, I covered Virginia basketball for a long time. I know these guys. I know Tony. I know Jason Williford. Obviously Richie McKay, who's a longtime regular. They were pumped last night, and not like they were coaches, they were excited they won a basketball game. They're more pumped than usual. And so I asked Reese Beekman about that, and I think the team had a very celebratory air to, like, hey, like, nobody's pretending like we got this thing figured out, but we knew we had to win this one to stay in the bracket, and they did. So here's a part of my chat with Reese Beekman after last night's UVA win.
You know, we know what this one meant for us, for our postseason, you know, play. So we just want to come out here and give it all we got. So, you know, now we got a chance to, make it to the ACC tournament for 2 years in a row, which would be impressive. And, you know, I know me personally want to get back losing last year in the championship and just have another chance at that.
I know you guys all know how to make the free throws. It's just been frustrating. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah, I mean, we got to, you know, those are big moments. You know, it's not the easiest. You know, people, you get in your head a little bit in those moments. But, you know, we worked on that. You know, down the stretch, we made them when we counted. We made enough. I know we didn't make all, we made enough to survive. So, you know, we'll learn from this and just keep getting better.
Survive and advance, that's the name of the game. And now for both our teams, right? Because I mentioned off the top VCU, and we'll dive into VCU at 11:30 and go deep on that, play you some sound from inside their locker room. VCU, the last couple days, has not played its best basketball. VCU, the last few days, has not played to its potential, right? And you say, okay, what does that mean? Well, what that means is they're still playing basketball right now. And what that means for both UVA and VCU, two local teams that are not playing their best basketball right now, the bracket has broken their way. And so for VCU, having practice today in Brooklyn, for UVA, getting ready to play a feisty NC State team on a quick turnaround, the message is the same from Ryan Odom and from Tony Bennett. The message is you have an opportunity in front of you, and it's a heck of an opportunity. Because that opportunity is to play a team that has no business being here. And you have business being here. Whether that's true or not, it doesn't matter. That's what you tell them. You guys belong. They don't belong. Go take care of business, right? VCU's the highest seed left at the Atlantic 10 tournament. UVA is on one game so far in D.C. here. NC State has played three games so far here. It's their fourth game in 4 days. UVA only their second game. They're on fresher legs. Now, some of that's a little bit negated by the injuries. I mentioned the injuries. Let's play Tony Bennett after last night's game. So, you know, a lot of you were wondering, I was wondering as I watched, like, what's up with IMAC? What's up with Isaac McNeely? 0 for 5 from the field, didn't look like himself, went to the bench for a long stretch of the second half. The answer, he was injured earlier in the week. Here's UVA coach Tony Bennett.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't practiced for 4 days. He sprained his ankle pretty bad on Monday or Tuesday. And he didn't do anything until a little bit at shoot-around. And basically, we said test it in warm-ups and see how it goes. And he moved good. You could tell he was a little ginger. But I think as the game wore on, it was good. And again, he made some big plays that we needed. So it was good. But again, Tane and did a great job. And Tane picked up where he left off from our last game. And then just carried it, and we knew we were going to need that. But I thought Andrew Rohde gave us a great lift, too, on the perimeter.
UVA coach Tony Bennett, after last night's win over Boston College, keeps him in the bracket for another day, right? Survive in advance, keeps him in the big bracket for another day. Survive in advance out of Dayton. The downside is, you know, that was only a downside game. There was no upside to beating Boston College. I think they still stay pretty close to the bubble. If they beat NC State, you make the ACC final. I think they've played their way out of Dayton at that point. I'm not prepared to say that UVA has played its way out of Dayton yet. I don't think, you know, I talk to smart people here, people smarter than me. They're not sure about that either. They're very sure that Clemson's not going to Dayton. They're not so sure about UVA. They also say, depends what happens with Pitt, right? If Pitt can pull a miracle today against North Carolina, then you got to make room for them in the field, and they might be the Dayton team. On the other hand, I don't think anybody's touching North Carolina. They looked so good yesterday. Armando Bacot was rolling right out of the gate. Just a fantastic outing for him. North Carolina Pitt, your early game here in D.C. tonight at 7. And then UVA NC State, 9:30 tip. We'll have it for you on 11:40. WRVA, the mothership, the 500,000-watt voice of Virginia. UVA basketball tonight at 9:30. All our coverage here from D.C., from the tournament, has been brought to you by Cowan Gates, a full-service law firm. We appreciate them making this week happen, and certainly a fantastic night of basketball last night. I know tonight's going to be a good night of basketball. I don't think we're going to touch last night in terms of the atmosphere, in terms of how charged it was for the end of that Duke-NC State game. Such a good finish, such a good game. I don't think Brooklyn's going to be able to touch that drama for a while. We mentioned first time since 2006, the top four seeds have all lost in Brooklyn. VCU, now the top-seeded team remaining, and we remind you, it doesn't mean anything. Everybody who's left can win this thing. St. Joseph's can win this thing. VCU can win this thing. Other side of the bracket, the Bonnies and Duquesne can both win this thing as well. We've seen those teams. They've rolled through there this year. This was a deep A-10 this year, and it's going to be a two-bid league as well, which is nice. We'll slide back. We got one more segment for the top of the hour. When we get to 11 o'clock, I'll go deep on the Commanders. What is up, Richmond? Michael Phillips here, MP, on the mic. 10 o'clock on a Friday morning, a fun Friday. Glad to have you along for the ride. Gary Hess joins us at 10:15. Steve Wino with a little puck talk. You know, we're going to sneak in a little NHL talk at 11:15. Bookmark that and come back for it if you want. In the midst of our basketball mania, our final show from D.C. It's been a fantastic week up here in D.C. My goodness, you just cannot beat this week for drama, for sheer intrigue, for all of it. It's been a totally, an amazing week for basketball. I said on yesterday's program, my favorite day of the week is quarterfinal day. It delivered in D.C. It delivered in Brooklyn. It delivered last night between Duke and NC State. We had a technical for hanging on the rim. We had a Kyle Filipowski foul. The perfect villain. We've got the perfect villain at Duke this year. And, NC State comes back for the win. We've got upsets, craziness, chaos all over the place. Certainly none more so in Brooklyn. We'll dive into all that. And, of course, we'll start with our reminder that our shows this week from D.C. are brought to you by our friends at Cowan Gates, huge supporters of Virginia Tech Athletics, huge supporters of 910 The Fan. We appreciate them for that. And if you need a lawyer, Cowan Gates is there for you in any case. Check them out online, cowangates.com. Call them 804-320-9100. Offices in Richmond at Huguenot and Robius Road. What a day for basketball. I know I've said that before. I want to say it again. What a day for basketball. It is electric down there at Capital One Arena for the ACC tournament. Was lucky enough to have a courtside seat to a fantastic day of basketball. And don't worry. Look, all week we've been doing pregame, essentially, right? There's been a noon tip every day. There's been 11:30 tips in Brooklyn. We've kind of been building you towards that and hyping you up for basketball. We haven't had a lot of time to do other things. Well, Sam Howell got traded yesterday, so we're gonna do plenty of football talk today too. 11 o'clock, we're doing a whole segment, nothing but NFL. Get back here at 11 o'clock, nothing but NFL segment. Sam Howell traded to the Seahawks. Value is in the eye of the beholder, and certainly none more so than this deal, right? Because it's a pick swap trade. Sam Howell goes to the Seahawks, and in return, the Seahawks send their third round pick to Washington for the fourth round pick that the Commanders had, send a fifth round pick for the sixth round. So they double swap picks. Now the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, which was kind of the initial draft trade value chart, is how a lot of people score draft trades. By that chart, Washington got the equivalent of a late third round pick for Sam Howell. Now, some of the more modern charts that try to bake in the value of having multiple picks, the value of how these players actually turn out, tracking that, it's a little more scientific. That says it's maybe closer to a late fourth, early fifth. That changes the dynamics of the deal. Of course, Sam Howell was a fifth-round draft pick. Now you flip him for a fourth. What's nice about this is I get to say for the final time on this radio station, and this is the final time we're going to discuss this issue. Final time. Here it is. Everybody get ready. Sam Howell is not going to be an elite NFL starter. Period. Sam Howell is not going to be an elite NFL starter. We have enough data on that. We have enough information on that. He could be a starter in the league. He could be a very good backup in the league. These things are all absolutely still in play for Sam Howell. What is not in play for Sam Howell at this point in his career, with the amount of information we have, he is not going to be an elite NFL starter. And that's where we're starting from. We can debate everything else from there, and we will debate everything else from there. But what you need to know is, there's no point in holding on to him because you think he's the future. I was an advocate for holding on to him as a backup. I'm still an advocate for that. They didn't do it. They traded him to the Seahawks. I'm not mad about that. You know, they got at least commensurate value for what they picked him for. What's important here, though, is he's not going to be an elite NFL starter. I think you can't have enough backups. I'm a huge believer that you want three quarterbacks on your team. I'm a huge believer that you want depth at the position. But certainly, in Adam Peters, we trust. And in Adam Peters, you trust to make this move, to move on. A couple takeaways from this deal here before we slide back to basketball here at the top of the hour. Okay, number one, and this is the obvious one, they're going to take a quarterback at number two, right? You don't trade Sam Howell to start Marcus Mariota and not take a quarterback at number two, or Marvin Harrison or Joe Walter, whoever you got in mind. They're taking a quarterback at number two. Or trading up to number one, they could do that. I don't know. We'll talk about that later in the show, the Bears and Caleb Williams. I think that's an interesting situation going on there. But in terms of what they're going to do with that number two pick, they're going to use it to get a quarterback, and they're going to try to get a franchise quarterback. I think that's very obvious right now. That's very much out there on the board right now. Number two is they've got six picks in the top 100 right now. That doesn't mean they have to take six good players. You can pull what the Texans did last year, and you can use some of those second-round picks to come back into the first round to get another guy. And I'll take you right there, left tackle. Right, you need a left tackle on this team. You need a guy protecting your quarterback's blind side. They can package some of these picks to come up and get Joe Ault. They can package some of these picks to come get, name your guy who you like at left tackle, because those elite guys are going to be gone by the time you pick on day two on Friday. So that's very much in play for them. Wouldn't surprise me at all if that ends up being their move. The other thing you can do if you're Adam Peters, I keep saying this, and I don't think people like it when I say this, but if you're Adam Peters, you can use those picks to move back and get more and better picks next year in the 2025 draft. Because remember, he's playing a long game here. He's not playing a short game here. Those are important things to keep in mind as we discuss what the Commanders are going to do with this draft pick. We'll slide back on that at 11, but we've got so much basketball to get to between here and there. Our friends at Cowan Gates putting us up in D.C. all week. We've been out here at the ACC tournament just having an absolute blast. Great scene. You know, the hand-wringing of Tuesday, right? Oh, D.C.'s a terrible place for the ACC tournament. Nobody's here. Nobody was there because it was Tuesday and it was bad basketball. People showed up yesterday for good basketball, and people showed up in droves. And boy, if it wasn't just a really fun day. The crescendo, obviously, being the Duke-NC State game at the end there, and just everything that came with that. Of course, anytime you've got Duke playing, you're going to have a lot of Duke fans, but you're going to have a lot of fans in the crowd as well who are anti-Duke, which can be its own kind of fun, right? That's its own kind of fun, cheering against a team like Duke. Kyle Filipowski, I think, is the best Duke villain we've had in a long time. You think about your classic Duke villains. Grayson Allen, of course, comes to mind. J.J. Redick was in that club. I think Kyle Filipowski's every bit as good as those guys were. He's ready to ascend to his throne here as this year's signature Duke villain. By the way, they lost yesterday. That's a team that's absolutely good enough to take care of business in the tournament. All right, haven't even mentioned Brooklyn yet. We got to talk about what happened in Brooklyn yesterday, too, because chaos happened in Brooklyn yesterday. Starting with, and I feel for him, the Richmond Spiders taking the L first game of the day against St. Joseph's. And look, this, we knew it was a possibility. There are at least, I counted nine teams that could play good basketball in the A-10 that could win on any given day. Obviously, Duquesne has something to say about that as well. I didn't include them in the nine, but they played a little bit of good basketball as well. But, man, it was a tough matchup, a tough draw. The Spiders just couldn't get it done. Not only knocks them out of the NCAA tournament, but, you know, they've changed the rules. They're not even guaranteed a spot in the NIT anymore. I hope the NIT will take them. I think that's a stupid rule to take more Power 5 teams in a tournament that Power 5 teams don't even want to play in. So hopefully the Spiders get to play more basketball this year. VCU coming through. All right, VCU, hot take. I'll back it up before we're done here. VCU hasn't played good basketball the last 2 days. They really haven't. And they've walked away with two wins. I thought in the first half yesterday, VCU was tenacious on the boards. VCU was getting after it, rebounding. But in the second half, they survived more than they thrived. They squeaked by Fordham. They survived UMass. A little zone. We're going to play some clips later. Ryan Odom talking about VCU going to a zone. But a great day of basketball there includes, man, Loyola Chicago goes down at the hands of St. Bonaventures. Obviously, the Bonnies, always an exciting team to watch in that event, of course, could travel from New York easily enough. Double overtime game. You felt for the Loyola kid who missed the three at the end. He took that really hard. The buzzer beaters are more fun than the buzzer misses. But it's all part of March. It's all part of what makes this month the best time of the year for basketball fans. And by the way, after today's show, next time we talk to you will be Monday. We'll have a bracket. We'll have a full-on 68-team bracket. We're going to have ourselves a week, folks. Before we slide to break, shout-out to Hampton Sydney. They're in the D3 championship. Chance to make it three titles in a row for the state of Virginia. Of course, Christopher Newport and Randolph-Macon have won D3 titles the last couple of years as well. You know who the perfect person to talk to would be on a day like this? I say Gary Hess. Let's get him going. Friday Fun with Gary Hess on the other side of this break. We're off and running. It's a Friday Fun. MP on the mic. You're listening to 910 The Fan out 105.1 FM. Flying towards the top of the hour, high noon, A1 Radio takes over for 3 hours from Brooklyn. Grant and Danny will drive you home tonight on The Fan. It's a Friday Fun show. We are up in D.C., MP on the mic, live from D.C. all week. If you missed any of these episodes, make sure to grab the podcast MP on the mic on all major podcast platforms. Thanks to Hazel and Megan, of course, holding it down back in the studio this week. And a big, big thanks to our friends at Cowan Gates for sponsoring our coverage of the ACC tournament, our week in D.C. Tons of fun, tons of great interviews. We've heard from a lot of great people. Cowan Gates, personal injury, family law, divorce, business and corporate law, estate law, criminal defense, and real estate. Folks, they're a full-service law firm. They're there for you in any case. Check them out online, cowangates.com, or call 804-320-9100. Their offices in Richmond are at Huguenot and Robius. They also have a office that focuses on real estate in Williamsburg. An office in Williamsburg that focuses on real estate. If we're going to do this, we're going to get the grammar right. I am a stickler for that sort of thing, and I will continue to be a stickler for that sort of thing. We're our own worst critics, right? I demand good grammar, even on the radio, and we're going to deliver it to you. You know what caught me off guard watching the VCU game yesterday? They threw a little bit of zone out there. I don't know if you saw that, right? There were hints of that in the last UMass game. They were down 20. They threw out zone at the end. I kind of made a mental note. I was like, are they practicing that? Like, good time to get reps? And then they throw it back out there against UMass. And I thought it really slowed down what the Minutemen were doing. And here's Coach Ryan Odom on why they pulled that off.
They had won the game, basically, and we played the last 4 minutes of it. And I think we got four or five stops. Obviously, you can go throughout the course of their season and go back and look at, where they struggle in certain situations. And so, we felt pretty confident that we needed to try it and try it in the first half and begin to play it. We've got quick guys. We've got size. The key is having the right guys out there that match well with one another from a size perspective. And, I thought certainly it was a big help for us in the game. It allowed us to, at times not have to fight. They were still trying to post up, don't get me wrong, down near the basket, but you weren't having to fight the ball screens and fight, the post-ups and the back screens and the movements that they do so well. And it gives you a little bit of time to kind of, you're not resting, like Zeb said. You're trying to play because they can beat you in other ways. They can make threes. They can get it inside your defense and drop it off. And I thought, it was just a good, momentum change for us and made them take more time, each possession.
Ryan Odom is just such a good explainer of basketball. Like, if he ever gets fired, he's welcome to come host this show. I'll step aside voluntarily. I'll be his producer. I'll be his water boy. He's so good at explaining basketball and why they do what they do, right? And the idea of denying UMass that entry. The idea of denying them, because you don't have a true five, because you're leaning on guys who get in foul trouble and Toby Lawal and Christian Furman. You're leaning on guys who have had trouble handling their business at times this year, right? So what you're doing is you're creating a defense that plays to your strengths while trying to deny them their strengths. Great move by Ryan Odom, by VCU. I said this at the top of the show. I will say this again. I don't think VCU's playing their best basketball this week. I think they've been prone to mistakes. I think they've had lapses at times, and they've gotten very lucky with the draw, which is a big part of March. They're going to play St. Joseph's tomorrow instead of number one seed UR. That's a team you got to respect, but at the same time, that is a winnable basketball game. And you watch the chaos, you watch the dominoes fall, you let yourself start dreaming and thinking. Joe Bamisil, one point, got cold in the second half. The team got cold at one point. They pieced it together. They gritted it out. Second game in a row that they needed to really buckle down. They built the lead in this one and hung on, as opposed to Fordham, which was pretty close the entire way. I don't think this is this team's best basketball, what we've seen so far, but I love their ability to put a game plan together to fight it through. While we're hearing from the Rams, let's hear from Joe Bamisil and Zeb Jackson.
We kept attacking and moving the ball. I think yesterday we got a little bit stagnant, whereas today, like, you know, we talked about it. We watched some film, and, you know, we made sure we were attacking it, getting it to the middle, and then when we had lanes to drive, we would drive versus just kind of swinging it around.
I also want to add, like, really big props to our coaches, our entire coaching staff, because it's not easy to just do, like, a quick turnaround like this and adjust in the ways that we adjust. So I just think our game plan as well was a huge part of that, and they just prepared us really well to, whether it was plays, whether it was attacking, moving the ball, whatever, they just adjusted really well, and it worked out.
That's a good analysis by both of them. And Joe Bamisil acknowledging against Fordham, that wasn't this team's grittiest effort of the season. Now, maybe that pays dividends for them later and that there's more energy here as you load up, right? Rest day today in Brooklyn. Chance to get back after it for a couple of days. You're playing a St. Joseph's team that also is going to be a four games in 4 days winner if they make it to the title game. So there's no rest advantage. Both teams will be on equal footing tomorrow. That's going to be a fantastic ball game, of course, on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, as we get closer and closer. There's only four teams left in the A-10, and VCU is one of those four teams. Doesn't matter if I think they're playing their best basketball or not. What matters is they're still alive in the Atlantic 10 tournament. We'll see. It's not a given. Just because they're a high number, we've learned this week, doesn't mean they're going to win the basketball game. It's been a fantastic tournament so far. I have no doubts it will continue to be a fantastic tournament. I mean, my goodness, just such a good tournament up there. So many great games yesterday. Obviously, Loyola Chicago and St. Bonaventure, two overtimes back and forth. You've seen stars emerge. You've seen so many great players and so many great moments. Now, on the flip side of that, you got UR, and they bowed out yesterday. Coach Chris Mooney said he believes UR is deserving of an NIT bid. He's hopeful of an NIT bid, and obviously they would accept an NIT bid. Here he is breaking down what went wrong for the Spiders, losing as the one seed in their first game in Brooklyn.
We had gotten a 10-point lead, I think, on that next possession. They hit a 3-point shot, maybe off of a second, you know, a second chance play or an offensive rebound. The same thing happened in the first half. You know, that's part of basketball, and they have the possessions. I would say, you know, I thought we moved the ball well. I thought Neil played maybe his best game of the season. I thought he was great. You know, and I just think when we had a lead, we didn't extend the lead quite far enough. You know, when you can by making some shots, we didn't turn the ball over all that much. And then when it was tight at the end, I felt like, you know, we weren't able to make quite enough shots. And so, like I said, the effort, you know, this team's so great to be around and fun to watch and be part of because of how hard they play. And it certainly wasn't anything with that. I thought we just didn't make quite enough shots. And mid-range shots, you know, some transition opportunities, some three-point shots. I thought we needed one or two more at a key time.
Yeah, when he puts it that way, it makes total sense. They were up 10 early. They were up 10-0 early. They didn't press their advantage, right? It's hard to say that when your team was up 10-0 was the turning point of the game, but he wanted them to continue to keep their foot on the gas pedal, and instead St. Joe found their way to fight and claw back, and as we've learned in the A-10 this year, as we've learned at the ACC tournament, no such thing as a safe lead. VCU knows that. There's no such thing as a safe lead. VCU's been up a lot this year, hasn't been able to close. It was the Spiders' turn yesterday. Couldn't close down the stretch, but a tip of the hat to St. Joseph's, who was making just fantastic plays front to back in that game, and just further proof of the cruelty of March, right? You can win the league. Doesn't mean anything. It's one and done by the time you get to Brooklyn. And, I mean, just a fantastic A-10 tournament. It's been a fantastic ACC tournament here. We've been thrilled to bring it to you all week. Last couple days, we've been live from Capital One Arena. That's been a ton of fun. Today, we're back in the quieter environment here at Navy Yard, getting ready for tonight's ACC semifinal games. All of our coverage from D.C. has been brought to you by Cowan Gates. Cowan Gates is a full-service law firm, also a big supporter of Virginia Tech Athletics. Got to see a little bit of Hokies basketball this week. Not a lot of Hokies basketball. They're not done yet, though, by any stretch. Hokies, if you want an NIT bid, your rooting interest today is Pitt over North Carolina. If Pitt wins, can slide their way into the tournament, that potentially opens the door for Virginia Tech into the NIT. We shall see. Lots of things still to resolve on that side of things and in that side of the world. Being at the ACC yesterday, by the way, I was reminded it used to be that every school's radio team did every single game on the radio, right? So, like, the UVA radio crew would just post up all day and call every game, and we'd put them on WRVA, or, you know, the NC State team would broadcast all the games, right? That was back in the day when that's how people consumed the games, but that tradition stayed for a while. Obviously now it's just their school's games, and then you move on. But it's funny to see the evolution of the ACC tournament over time as something of intense regional interest, kind of turning into this national event in a lot of ways. You know, it used to be, right, the Raycom broadcast on local TV. Now it's ESPN. You've got the big names there broadcasting it. College sports does a lot of things wrong between 9 and 5. The administrators, I've castigated them many a time. They do a lot of things wrong between 9 and 5. But the games always find a way to deliver. And boy, the games delivered yesterday. Starting from the very start, we saw a UNC team that was motivated. And I told you that coming in. Armando Bacot, he didn't come back just for the NIL money. He didn't come back just to hang out with his buddies. He's back to win, and you had a chance to see him really flex on that stage against a good Florida State team, make a statement that this UNC team is not to be trifled with this year in this tournament. So tons of fun coming ahead in the ACC semis, A-10 semis. They take a day off today. They're back at it tomorrow. You'll hear VC right here on The Fan, of course. You'll hear me for one more segment. Then you'll hear AWOD Radio. It's a Friday fun show. It's been a great week of basketball. We're getting you ready. Brackets coming out on Sunday night. Next time I talk to you on Monday, there's going to be a bracket. I'm looking forward to it. Right now, we're going to step aside one more segment before we put this thing in the bag for the day. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. One more time, wrap up the week. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. What a week it has been for us up here in Washington, D.C. One last chance to thank our friends at Cowan Gates for making that happen. Cowan Gates, proud sponsors of Hokie Athletics. They support all Virginia Tech athletics programs, and you've seen that throughout the year. You've heard their name, Tech Talk Live, all the great calls of all the games that we've got. Cowan Gates, a full-service law firm. They're there for you in any case. Check them out online, cowangates.com, 804-320-9100. Very appreciative of all they do for the Hokies and all they've done for us this week. Fantastic week up here in Washington, D.C. I've had a chance to see a lot of good basketball, a lot of crazy basketball. It hasn't always been good, but it's been wild the whole way. I think UVA exemplified that last night, right? You go 6-for-17 from the free throw line, and you somehow find a way to pull one out against Boston College. And look, they're at the very bottom. They're in the 300s in field in free throw rating in Division I, and that's not going to get fixed anytime soon. And we talked about it being an only downside, no upside game. I think you saw that. I think you heard that after the game, that the commentary was not UVA punched their ticket. The commentary was, holy cow, that was tough to watch. But I do think, yeah, they've got NC State tonight, certainly a chance to win that one. I think the Wolfpack are playing for something, too. They're fired up for that Duke game. Obviously, they'd love a bite at North Carolina. Chance to have an all Triangle area title game on Saturday night. A lot of fun matchups. I'm inclined to believe at this point, right now, if UVA wins tonight, they're solidly in the field. And if they lose tonight, they might be in Dayton, depending on how the field breaks. I think they're in either way, but I think they may punch their ticket to Dayton with a loss tonight. I just think sometimes the narratives take over. The narrative around that team is that they are struggling right now. And they've got injuries. Tony Bennett talked about it. They've got injuries right now, but they've got a lot of work to do to get right here before next week, before they go. I mean, Reese Beekman, Isaac McNeely did not have big games. Dunn gets his fourth foul with, 6 minutes to go in the second half. All those things add up, right? But Jordan Miner comes to play in the clutch, makes big plays. Boston College gets the ridiculous shot to force overtime, and then UVA finally gets a couple of them to go, does well enough. And that crowd, by the way, was fantastic last night. My ears are still ringing from that. Great crowds here in D.C., as you'd expect. Tons of alumni, of course, from all the schools up here. Easy drive from Richmond. A harder drive from Richmond is the drive up 95 to Brooklyn, but I think a lot of ECU people are going to be making that drive today and tomorrow. We'll hand it off to AWOD Radio live from Brooklyn up here at the top of the hour. I think people sense there's opportunity here. That's not to say VCU's been playing its best basketball. Very much don't think they have been. I don't think VCU's playing up to its potential. It hasn't in either of its games. But you look at the bracket, you look at the way it's breaking. All four of the top four teams lost yesterday at the Atlantic 10 tournament. We're going to have a winner five or lower on the seed line. VCU's now your top remaining team at the Atlantic 10 tournament. So everything's breaking right. They've got today to get in the gym and practice. You get the sense there's a coaching staff that gets them ready, gets them prepared for every game, every situation. They're going to need that against St. Joe's. St. Joe's is hot right now. You got a semi-local team there, right, playing in Brooklyn. They're going to have a lot of local support. I don't doubt the VCU fans are going to make their way up the highway as well. So that'll be tomorrow, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. You know the drill. Robbie and Rodney will have the call, and if they need to, they'll be back on the air Sunday, kicking the day off. That A-10 title game, of course, at 1 o'clock. It's traditional time slot before the Big Ten title game, before we find out the bracket. And on Monday, next time we talk to you, we'll have a bracket. But in the meantime, we still got 2.5 more days of really fun basketball. And that's what it's been. Just wall-to-wall, Duke, NC State, obviously the highlight here yesterday, just in terms of the two teams going back and forth. Brooklyn had its best game at that time, too, as Loyola goes down to St. Bonaventure, local team, semi-local team there. Nothing's local to Olean, New York, but you know, semi-local. They pack it in. They've got a great fan base. One more A-10 observation before we go: is Dayton any good? I don't know if Dayton's any good or not. I think it's time to ask the question, right? As we reevaluate UVA and as we reevaluate things, Dayton is loaded. Daron Holmes is a great basketball player. They're loaded, top to bottom. It's not just him. That's a loaded, loaded roster. At some point, your results and you're not your potential. Preseason, they were their potential. They were a top 25 team. Non-conference play, they were their results and they were a top 25 team. Ever since then, it's hard to argue that this has been a top 25 team or just a no doubt class of the A-10. We talk about it as, oh, Dayton, you know, they're a 6 seed, they're a 7 seed, they're whatever they are. At a certain point, you do have to back that up on the court, and they haven't backed that up on the court in a while. I'm prepared to ask the tough questions. Is Dayton any good? That's not the toughest. The toughest question we ask is, where is Kate Middleton? We ask that every day. Let's sneak that in before the buzzer, because that's important, obviously. We're not giving up on that. You know, that's priority number one. Priority number two, is Dayton any good? I don't know. I don't know if Dayton's any good or not. I think there's a lot of good basketball players on that team. I think at a certain point, you've got to start backing it up on the court. One team who I do know is good, UNC, North Carolina, the one seed coming out of the ACC tournament. I just get the sense this is their tournament to lose right now. Not even just from a talent standpoint, but you get the sense they want it. Part of college basketball, who wants it? Who wants to be there? Who wants to win it? And this is a team that is hungry to lift that trophy. They'll be hungry for more after that, but I think they understand this is a weird year in college basketball. You could end up in a bad bracket. A Final Four certainly not guaranteed, even for the best teams, even for the Houstons of the world. It's not going to be a sure thing this year just because of how much quality there is at the top, how much parity there is across the board. But UNC can control the one thing they can control. I think they're going to be lifting a trophy tomorrow night up here in D.C. We're back Monday, AWOD Radio. 3 hours coming up next from Brooklyn. Of course, he'll hang out in Brooklyn until VCU's out of there. Keep it locked to 910 The Fan all weekend for full VCU coverage. Robbie and Rodney on the call. AWOD breaking it all down pregame and halftime. Thank you to Cowan Gates for our great week up here in D.C. The madness is going to get madder. Next time we talk to you on Monday, there will be a bracket. I'm fired up. You should be fired up. AWOD's fired up. I know he's fired up. He's on the other side of this break. You are listening to 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.